thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to this place, Father, to worship you, to encourage one another and lock arms, be able to pray for one another. Father, to be able to serve together, side by side. Father, to give. Father, thank you. To be forgiven, to receive healing. God, thank you. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit and might and power to lead us and guide us, protect us, overshadow this time, Father, as we approach your word. Father, I pray that you would impart life to us. Father, I pray for an anointing this day, not just for me, but for everyone who hears this message. Father, that they would be anointed by your Holy Spirit, that they would be good ground, ready to receive the engrafted word of God. And Father, I pray that we wouldn't be just hearers of your word, but doers of your word, that we would incorporate truth into our life and then live it out, walk it out on a daily basis. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Real quick, guys, as we are getting into this sermon series again, we've been talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? That's the scripture. What is the reference? Matthew 6? 33. That's what you were going to say? You raised your hand real big. These guys just blurted it out. Matthew, no, it's awesome. I love it that you guys know. You're eager. I love this. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? Amen? We've also looked at Matthew 6, verses 9. We're stopping and pausing for a moment on verses 9 and 10. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy, sanctified, sacred, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're talking about the things of God. Putting God first in our lives. What does that look like? How does that look? We've talked about God's will. Everybody would agree we want God's will for our lives, right? We would all agree. I want God's will for my life. Well, this is your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay? This is basically taking a knee to your will and allowing God to work his will in your life. And we're all in agreement that this is what we want. Amen? But we're also looking at another concept and another principle from Matthew 6, 33. Pull that up again, please, Aaron. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Amplified Translation said his way of being made right with him. Hello.
Hi.
I'll get it. Let me answer. We're playing a game with my kids lately. Anytime we get a telemarketer, I give it to my kids and I try and coach them what to say. We put it on speakerphone and we keep getting hung up on. But now we're starting to gauge who can go the longest before we get hung up on. And it's getting kind of fun. But yeah, we're like, you know, reversing that whole thing, going, oh man, click. No, we're like, hello, yes, I'm interested. My vehicle's extended warranty. Yeah, or you have won a cruise, or your credit card payments can be lowered, or these are fun. All right, well, I realize there's people on the other end as soon as you get through the waiting process. I was with somebody not too long ago, and we were the 31st caller in line. And I said, this is going to change in the next 10 seconds. We're going to be like number 9. Boom, we dropped. I'm like, I think that's their way of screening people that aren't very serious. Well, I'm serious. I want to play. So, but it's always a good time. You bet. That's probably why I keep getting more. More telemarketers. You bet. But, all right. So we're talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. We're looking at God's will and God's way. Amen? Yes. Now, as we're getting ready to jump into to today, I would like to stop and encourage you on something very precious real quick, okay? All right, here we go. I would like to challenge you or encourage you to this week seek time with Jesus on a very intimate level. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when you can connect with God, you just shut out everybody. Just turn off the TV, just pause the movie or the episode, whatever. Save it for the next night. Just step into the next room, into your prayer closet or into wherever. And find a time where you can pray and seek God and endeavor to connect with Jesus. I guarantee He wants to meet you there. He wants to meet you in the secret place. He wants to impart to you. I'm going to tell you, this is not just a verse that we can say, okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then go ahead and, you know, skip back to verse 9 and 10. It'll say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? I'm going to tell you right now, you are the apple of His eye. He's crazy about you. And I'm speaking to myself here. We can get so busy and wrapped up with life that we completely miss the opportunities where He just gently wants to connect with us, where He wants to equip us and empower us, where He wants to bring you back to a moment where you are so soft-hearted to Him, it melts you. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, learn what I'm talking about. Connecting with God. This is you and Him in the privacy of your room. Go ahead and lose it. Go ahead and weep. You're going to find that that is life-giving. Because at the end of the day, guys, this is what brings us back from our problems, our struggles, our addictions. Amen. I can tell you from my own personal experience, my own personal walk, when I was just neck deep in addictions and problems and struggles, that the one thing that brought me through those with success is me and Jesus. Amen. It was me and Him. And I would go out there and I would sin. And it would rip my heart up. It would break my heart because I knew that intimate time with Jesus. I had experienced that. I have done what the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's because of those times that there's those mountaintops. And then I'm down in the valley. And I brought myself to the valley willingly, knowingly. Even knowing that I'm about to cross the line and sin again. It's because the Lord had so touched my life that I got sick of the valley. And it was repulsive to me. My sin, my little pet, became repulsive to me. My little addiction, I saw it for what it was, bondage. Demonic in origin. It was a drive away from my King, who doesn't deserve anything short of my absolute all in all. You with me? What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to seek Him first. That is a very real and practical way that you can do this. I usher and I just encourage you. I just ask you, please, would you just connect with Him? Spend some time. If you need to go, hey guys, I just need some, you know, alone time. Maybe your wife, spouse, kids, neighbor, whatever, understands, your roommates, whatever the case is. Maybe they'll understand, maybe they won't. But go find a moment where you could just close the door to everything else and just say, God, here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace, so free. That's a wonderful song, by the way. Majesty. Majesty. Get it ready. As you are pushing yourself to connect with Him, He wants to break through. And I thank God that so many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I thank God for that. Because you're able to use that position of connection with Him as a point to step out from and to find strength in His fellowship, his communion. Amen? Amen. So I want to look real quick in Psalm 105. We're going to look at some of the will of God and the ways of God. Okay, now this subject is massive. We're going to scratch the surface, okay? But in Psalm 105, starting with verse 1, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Is this God's will?
Yes.
To give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Is this his will? Real quick, guys, let me teach you something. If you receive this, if you incorporate this into your life, it will bless you. God's word is God's will. You ever heard the phrase, their last will and testament? Okay. We now have shortened the phrase to the will. I hope I'm in the will. Right? Where there's a will, I hope I'm in it. You thought I was going to go the other direction. Where there's a will, there's a way, right? Nuh-uh. Where there's a will, hope my name's in there. In the scriptures, in the Bible, it's broken up into two sections. An Old Testament and a New Testament, okay? Old, God's will for the Old Covenant. And then there's God's will under the New Covenant. And they very much overlap. They're wonderful and beautiful in this way. But check this out. In the Old Covenant, it says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Is that his will for us today?
Yes.
Without a doubt. Let the whole world know what he has done. The power of a testimony. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. I love Jeremy's prayer up here today when we were praying. He said, we need to pray that God would bring this person out of addiction the same way that he did for me. Yeah, the power of a testimony. Let the whole world know what he has done. Verse 2, sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Keep going. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice. You who worship the Lord, rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Does this go along with seek ye first?
Yes.
Is this okay? All right, keep going. Verse 5. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given your children, you children of his servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. He always stands by his covenant. Remember last Sunday? Who was here last Sunday? That was powerful. Christian coming up here sharing his testimony. God is a covenant God. God is a covenant God. He always stands by his covenant, his word. The commitment he has made to a thousand generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham. And the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant forever and ever and ever. Amen. Keep going. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when they were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wander from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf. Do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets. He called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. Guys, we're talking about God's will. But we're also starting to see something else here. We're seeing God's ways. Okay? We're seeing God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But But now we're looking into some of the ways that God has operated in times past, because this is very much applicable for us today. All right? Some of his ways. He sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar. Everybody say pleasant. Yeah, no, right? Verse 19, until the time came to fulfill his dreams. The Lord, let's read that together, shall we? The Lord tested Joseph's character. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. The ruler of the nation opened his prison door. This is pretty powerful. Listen to this. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. He became ruler over all the king's possessions. He could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. We're going to stop right here, but leave this up. I'm talking about the will of God and the way of God. We're quick to say, yes, we'd like God's will done in our life. But I'm going to tell you what, to do it God's way sometimes requires sacrifice. I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes it's hard. Joseph, it was the Lord's doing for Joseph to go ahead of his brothers into Egypt. And you think that Egypt was all open arms going, yeah, welcome. No, he came in shackles, a prisoner. But during that time, go back verse 19 again. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, until the time was right, God was putting these tests in front of him. What were these tests doing? What were these tests? Do you guys remember? Potiphar's, no, not wife. Potiphar's lovely wife. Gotcha. Potiphar's wife going, hey, sugar. Right? I'm not very good at it. Hey, I don't need to be. Praise God. It worked once. She says she do, and I said I do, and now we do, and that's all that we know, right? Right? 4 kids later. So, hey, I was good at, hey. You, right? We're going to be at the marriage class tonight. but we're talking about God's ways, and sometimes they're difficult, guys. Please understand that. God, through this time, he was testing Joseph's character. Sometimes God's ways will involve a Potiphar's wife. And I want you to think about that. Sometimes God's ways involve a lion's den or a fiery furnace. But I want you to know, and here's something really I want you to grab a hold of. God is not in the tempting business. He is not the tempter. He tests. He's a tester. Why? Because temptation is designed to make you fail and fall and collapse. Testing is designed to refine character, to prove you, refine you. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So when it says that God is testing Joseph's character, how do we know when this time, it says until the time came to fulfill his dreams. When did the time come? I'll tell you when it came. When Joseph was now able to step up before his brothers who sold him into slavery and be able to see, literally see his dream fulfilled. when that time, when he was able, there was no bitterness in him. How do we know that it was a bitterness that was a problem, or that there was a heart condition that the Lord was refining through the prison? How do we know that? Because in the next passage, look at verse 20 and or 21 and 22. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household and became ruler over all the king's possession. He could, here it is, he could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. Right here is an indication of Joseph's character. How do we know that? Who was the king's aides? Who were the king's advisors? Who were top officials? Potiphar. Specifically speaking, Potiphar. Potiphar, Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Listen to this. It says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Pull back that Psalm 105, verse 22. He could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. There was a footnote in there, and the footnote for instruct in the Greek and Syriac versions read, bind or imprison. Bind or imprison. Cool, huh? Now here's how that plugs in. He could bind or imprison the king's aides as he pleased. And he could teach the king's advisors. In other words, we would say in today's day and age, teach them a lesson. You don't mess with me. I'm Joseph. I finally made it. He could do that. But he didn't. Why? Because the time had come where his character was, I've forgiven them. And when Potiphar is now going, oh, crud. Oh, man, we thought we threw him to prison and threw away the key. Pharaoh just called him up. Now he's number two. My wife, it might be time that we pack a bag, get the car ready, or the coach, the chariot. Get it ready. Pack the chariot. Pull the trailer up to it. You know what I'm saying? Let's get ready because the guy that you said did some stuff is now over us in authority. And what we don't read about is a person with a vindictive nature. No, you see a person who ushers out forgiveness. We're talking about the ways of God. We're talking about the will of God. God used prison shackles to refine somebody's character, so that when he could stand before his brothers, he actually could bring life into a situation that was meant for death. They threw him to the well. They were going to kill him. They told the father, yeah, he's dead. We, you know, found his cloak. Is this your son's cloak? It's got blood all over it. Oopsie. Well, your son Joseph is no more. They maintained that story all those years. And Joseph is now standing before them, and they don't recognize him. And he's so elated to see his brothers, he can't quite keep his composure together. He runs out of the room. You guys remember the story. Read about it in Genesis. Genesis 39, 40, etc. And he comes back into the room, gets himself together, comes back into the room, and he's testing his brothers, watching how they're going to respond. And he puts the brothers in a position in a predicament that they're in trouble. And I'm going to find out if your vindictive nature transferred to my brother, my younger brother, Benjamin. Benjamin's imprisoned. Why? At my word. With or without a cause. And his brothers stand up and say, please don't do this. We've already screwed up once. We'll take the punishment. Let this boy go, please. They pleaded with him. He lost it. He weeps. He says, it's me. And I'm literally seeing my dreams that I was a kid. Remember, I was 14 years old, and I told you about them dreams. And here I am, and it's fulfilled. You have fallen down at my feet, not in worship, but in respect and honor. It's me, guys. And God, through that, through a person who didn't cling to bitterness, who was quick to forgive, well, it took time, but he was able to forgive, saved the entire nation during famine. Couldn't God have stopped the famine just to begin with? I mean, he is God. Yes. Why didn't he? Because he doesn't just want to come in and save you. He wants to refine you. Amen. Why do we walk through hell on earth? Why do we do that? Because through our brokenness, with our scars, we step back out victorious. Amen. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You understand, you can't be called more than conqueror if you haven't conquered something. Well, in Christ we've conquered death. You're right. In Christ we've conquered sin. You're right. Now walk it out. Hello? You with me? We're talking about God's will. We're talking about God's ways. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, they were not found in him. Can we trust that God knows more than us? Can we trust that God knows what he's doing? If we require that God explain his ways to us every single time, then you are declaring to him, I don't trust you. Said none of us ever, right? How come, God? Why? Whoa, whoa, whoa. God's in control. He sees your tears. He sees your pain. And he'll walk you through this. Are we okay? I want to talk to you about something that's a little bit more of a curveball concerning God's will and God's ways, okay? Acts chapter 7, we're going to look at this. This is the New Living Translation, Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 17. And I love this passage because this passage, this is Stephen in the early church. He's literally about to become the first martyr. His speech right here convicts their hearts so much, they don't respond in repentance, they respond in hatred. But he is filled with the presence and the Spirit of God so mightily and so powerfully. And this is at the, you know, part of the way through his discourse. He says this. He says, and as the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Verse 18, but then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. Keep going. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so that they would die. Do you guys remember what happened? Pharaoh said, throw them in the river. Throw them to the crocodiles. Is it alligators or crocodiles? I don't know. Crocodiles there. You guys, yes. He said, throw them into the river, abandon these babies. And if you don't, we will. We'll take your babies. And so they were forcing these parents to abandon their newborn babies so that they would die. And at that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in the eyes of God. I love how it reads in the New King James Version. It says, a child that found grace and favor in the eyes of God. And I thought to myself, how old was this child? Now, you can see ahead, you know, his parents cared for him at home until he was 3 months old. Hold on. This is, like, really cool, right? This, to me, is like, oh, wow, God found favor, or this, you know, Moses found favor in the eyes of God. And I thought, wait a minute, he's only 3 months old. What does a three-month-old do? Nothing. They poop. They cry. They sleep. What else do they do? They eat, okay? They grow silently, right? This is to me like, huh? At any rate, God loves children. I got to put that plug in right there. God is absolutely in love with kids. It says, and at this time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in the eyes of God. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. Keep going. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Do you guys remember the story? Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. Very well educated. Verse 23, one day when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The New King James of that verse says it like this. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. That's interesting to me. That's interesting to me. The New King James also says it like this, when he had it in his heart to go visit his brothers. That's interesting to me. Now, we know how the story ends, but question. Did Moses know at 40 years old that he was the deliverer? Wrong. Look at it again. You missed it. Go back. There we go. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. Did he know that he had a role to play? Yes. At how old?
40.
Did he know that he had a role to play? Now I'm going to go slow. I'm going to go real slow because you need to get this. We're talking about God's will and God's ways. Question, is it God's will for his people to suffer?
No.
God said previously, this guy's getting whipped, one of his brothers, and he comes to his defense. And he rises up against this Egyptian, and the guy dies as a result. This Egyptian dies as a result of his action. And he thought, hey, these guys are going to understand that God has called me to do this. God is not willing that these people are perishing like this. So, and I know that it's in my heart. This is stirring up. I believe that this is why I'm here. It's to stand up, to rise up, and to put a stop to this bondage. So he has it in his heart that God's going to use him as a deliverer. But did he totally miss God on this? The answer is yes. He sees the will of God, but he doesn't yet know the ways of God. Are you with me? Okay? How do I know this? Well, because I read it. Let's keep going. Verse 35, we're going to skip ahead. This Moses, who they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. The previous verses, the in-between verses, say that he was 40 years later in the wilderness. This makes him 80 years old. You with me? And then God says, I've heard the cry of my people, and it's time to go. He knew, he saw the will of God, but he missed the ways of God. Now, this is something that I eat this up. This is, okay, you guys ready for me to nerd for a second? Well, ready or not, here we go. You can know the will of God, but miss his ways entirely. And again, we're going back to Jesus taught us to seek God's will and his ways. And we need to be kingdom-minded when we do this. In Exodus chapter 12, look at this. The people of Israel, this is the New Living Translation. We're going to look at this in the New Living and the New King James. The people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. In fact, everybody say in fact. In fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's forces left the land. Now, in case you missed it, let's look at this in the New King James. Now, the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years on the very same day. When I see that, I think, that's a God thing. They had, 430 years ago, they had no idea that this was a Tuesday that they walked in. 430 years later, hey, it's a Tuesday, we're walking out. Right? Actually, it's closer to a Saturday, but whatever. The very same day. And it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. That was the way God wanted it done. We can know the will of God, and we can know that we're having a part to play, but what I'm telling you and what I'm trying to show you is you better get in line with His way. In other words, you better be led. You better, yeah, He had it in His heart. God's going to use me to do something here. God's going to use me. This is not His will. What is our response? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. All right, Lord. I know Your will on this. But what is Your way on this? How do we do this Your way so that this doesn't blow up in our faces? Are you with me? That's Moses' story. That is a lot of our stories. Sometimes we miss the boat because we step out in line. We need to wait and see what the Lord says. When the Lord says go, we're ready. We got this. We're all in. Amen? I'm going to show you one more way that's kind of a little bit of a curveball, but please understand. What I'm trying to reinforce to us is we want God's will. Let's do it His ways. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Right? Proverbs 3, verse, what is that, 4 and 5? Okay. Sometimes the Lord has us to do something and we don't get it. But I'm going to encourage you. Go ahead and do it. Why? Because that is declaring, I trust You. I don't have to know. It just doesn't have to make sense. Now listen to this. In Exodus 13, they're finally released. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, he did not lead them along the main road. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory. Okay? Here's Egypt. Here's the land of Canaan. Pretty easy, right? The journey went like this. Bloop. Red Sea. Even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. Why didn't God do that? You guys are reading ahead, you cheaters. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Why did God have them go down by the Red Sea? That was His ways. His will was the promised land. His way wasn't the shortcut way or the well-beaten pathway, the highway or the interstate. His way was the back roads way down to a cul-de-sac. You guys know what a cul-de-sac is? It's one of them little roads that goes off and there's a little bubble at the end and there's no way out. It's not a through road. It comes to a dead end. Why would God take you to a dead end? Can I answer that? Because God needs to bring you to the end of yourself. To show His glory, might, and power. So when you know that you can't go out, there's no way out, then God shows up. and he saves the day. We sing this song, you know, how he split the Red Seas, and he'll do this stuff again. We've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe that you'll do this again, right? You know what I'm talking about? How is it that you're going to see this when he leads you the way that doesn't quite make sense? Lord, you understand that this is a dead end. I got nothing. That's right. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord God. So when it doesn't make sense, all right, Lord. Davey and I, we had, Davey called me this week, and, no, David called me, I wasn't in trouble. David called me, and it was heavy on his heart, and he's just upset over the phone. He's like, man, I feel like we're pushing an uphill battle all the time, day after day, time after time. Why aren't we seeing these amazing results that I know that God can do and that it is his will to do? And I'm like, man, I've asked myself this many times, exactly the same. This hurts my heart. This grieves me. You understand, when any one of my people, my brothers and my sisters, God has given you to me to take care of you. Does that make sense? He called me to be a shepherd. I don't mean to be, you know, disrespectful. He called you to be the sheep. Okay, so when one of my sheep go astray, you understand, this bothers me. This bothers me and Kelly. We spend a lot of time praying and crying. This rips our heart out. When I got somebody sitting there circling the drain, and I'm like, man, I can see it. Why can't you respond? And I use this analogy. I'm like, I'm trying to get them. Oh, man, come on. Don't do that. Come on. Come back. That breaks my heart. But it's during that time that I can see that I have to let go, because I don't wear the cape. I don't save people. I can't. And it rips out my heart, because I'm called to be a shepherd, to tend for and to care for the flock. And it breaks my heart when I see my sheep go and wreck themselves. They hit another wall again. The same wall again. What do I got? I got in a cul-de-sac. I got a dead end. But it's in that cul-de-sac, and it's in that dead end that the Lord reminds me, hey, Jimmy, you need to remember, you don't wear a cape. I don't wear a cape. The Lord would say, I bear you out on eagle's wings. Amen. I'll be the deliverer. Yes. Moses gets to the edge of the Red Sea. They're getting their toes wet. Pharaoh's horses are breathing down their neck, and the people are going, great. You messed us over in this one, Moses. Would you drop your compass? You lose your map? Siri, no signal? GPS is jacked up. What's going on? I thought you'd been this way before. The fact of the matter is, he had been that way. And he also knew it's time to call on God. That's the answer. I told Davey, I said, I don't know, buddy. I need to pray about this. I need to pray. And the answer that I'm getting is, I can trust that God is involved. What I said this morning, I encourage you to connect with Jesus, because when you do that, I don't have to wear the cape. Buddy, you connected with Jesus for yourself, and you know that he is good. And you know that with him is way better than life without him. And he could call you back, the prodigal. I can't. You might dodge my number. Uh-oh. Mm-mm. No. Man, I love you. You might see me coming. Nope, not talking to him. Why? Because I'm enjoying my sin. What do I do to that? I'll tell you what I do to that now. Say, sick 'em, Lord. Amen. Sick 'em, Lord. I can't do it. The wall is, the door's closed. And this is like a dumb moment for me. Psh, slap myself. Wake up, Jimmy. Why? Because I've already done this again and again and again. I've seen this happen again and again and again. I've seen God literally do what I cannot do again and again and again. Situations, circumstances, hello. I can't do it. But I've seen him do it again and again. This is what we're talking about. We doing all right?
Amen.
Oh, I lost my spot. That's all good. This is good stuff, amen?
Amen.
I want to give you another instance. This is going to be a little bit more of a can of worms to open up. We're going to do it. You guys ready? Buckle in. All right, we're talking about the ways of God. We're talking about the will of God. Talking about how we need to trust God. Amen?
Amen?
And where he can do what we cannot. You understand, I can't touch your heart unless the Lord uses me or flows through me to touch your heart. But he can touch your heart. He can do this. So here we go. This is Exodus 19. Now, we're going to look at this again next Sunday as well. We're going to look at this for an entirely different reason. But I'm going to pull up something right here that is just powerful. Exodus 19, starting with verse 1. It says, exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is good. This is good stuff. Go back real quick. You have seen how I've set you free from the captives. You have seen how I have delivered you. You have seen that I initiated the relationship with you. You with me? And now I bring you to myself. Now this is right before Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments. Okay? This is right before then. And he's saying, not only did I initiate a relationship with you, not only did I bring deliverance and freedom to you, I brought you to me. It's at this juncture, he's going to ask them, will you follow me? This is heavy stuff. He's already done some stuff in their lives. Wonder if that's talking to some church folks today. God's already done some stuff in your lives. And he's drawing you close to him. And he's asking you and us and me now, are you willing to side in with me? Are you willing to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are you willing to do these things my way, with my will? Here we go. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth, for all of the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. He's speaking to Moses up on the mountain. He says, I want you to go back and tell my people, ask them, this is my plan for you. What is my plan for you? That you all be a kingdom of priests. That you will all be a holy nation. The entire earth belongs to me. I've set my eyes on you. Would you set your eyes on me? Whew. Take this message back to the people. Now look at this real quick. God wanted all of the people to be a kingdom of priests. All of them. In the New Testament, we see this to be very true. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is under the New Testament, under the New Covenant. He was breaking the old covenant with them then. It was new to them. He's saying, I want all of you guys to be a royal priesthood to me. Under the old covenant, it didn't work. I'm going to show you why in just a moment. Under the new covenant, glory to God, we're given a second chance. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. Okay. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. And verse 18 through 21. Okay, we're going to skip 19. We're going to come back to 19 next week. Don't worry. Come back next week. Same time, same channel. All right, chapter 20, Exodus 20, verses 18 through 21. It says, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. Oh, brother. Okay, they're missing the boat. All right. It keeps going on. It says, Moses says, don't be afraid, for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. In other words, he showed up big. Why? So that you realize this is big. Right? And as the people stood in the distance, Moses alone, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. This is not a praise God. This is a, huh? Huh? Listen, guys. God chose Israel for intimacy. But Israel chose distance for safety. We all agree obedience is good. But interaction with God, that's intimidating. It's overwhelming. And it can even be scary. When God leads us, sometimes it's in a scary place, in a scary way. Lord, I can't speak to my coworker. Are you kidding me? I don't have any courage. Like, I love you and worship you on Sunday, but man, this is real. This is my employees, my employer. This is my boss. Listen, guys. I showed you from the scriptures that it was God's will that the entire nation be a kingdom of priests. But in the Old Testament, who was it? Come on, answer the question. Who was it that were the priests? The tribe of? Come on, only 3-4 people? The tribe of a Levi were the priests. That was not God's will. That was not God's will. What was God's will? That all the people would draw near. Not just Moses. You go talk, buddy. This is scary stuff. Whoa. God's saying, no. Come. In the New Testament, we are called the same thing they were called. A nation of priests. A kingdom of priests. This is our birthright. This is something we are born into. He calls us to. I've done some stuff in your life. I bring you to me. Will you choose me? This is already your birthright. It's on you. This is my will. Will you follow me? Will you seek me first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. On earth. Here. Now. Not in the sweet by and by, heaven and glory, the eternal reign, the millennial kingdom. Your will be done here on earth now.
Amen.
Your way be done. Your will be done. I'll be a priest unto you. I'll draw in close to you. Why was it the tribe of Levi was selected? That's in Exodus chapter 32. Clint already knows the answer. He's excited. Exodus 32 tells us why the tribe of Levi. Here we go. You guys ready? I'm going to skip some blood and guts, you know, between 27 and 28. It's got blood and guts. Okay. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, much to the amusement of their enemies. This is right after the golden calf, okay? So he stood at the entrance to the camp and shouted, "All of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me." And all the Levites gathered around him. I'm going to skip the blood and guts. Moses told the Levites, "Today you have ordained yourselves for the service of the Lord. For you obeyed him even though it meant killing your own sons and brothers. Today you have earned a blessing." In other words, you could say it like this. You served God when it hurt. You served God when it cost you greatly. Today, you've earned the blessing. Today, you've shown the Lord you're all in. You're his. That's why the Levites were the priests. God's design was that all the people would be a priest, a holy nation. That was Exodus 19. I want all my people. Now, what's different between the old covenant and the new covenant? Not a whole lot in that regard. God still does a work in our midst. God initiates the relationship with him, and God brings you to him. And once you're there, he's going to have a real moment. Will you follow me? Will you serve me? Are you all in? This is your birthright. You're to stand in a place of high honor before me, before all the people of the earth. You're an amazing person before me. You're my priest. What is the office of the priest? Somebody who would go between the people and God, who would stand in the presence of God, who would minister in the presence of God. He said, "I'm calling you up." Under the New Testament, guys, this is our birthright. So why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we? This comes right back to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's get about doing it God's way. What is God's way? That you get in there and start worshiping. That you get in there and start seeking. That you get in there and have intimate moments with Jesus where you just, you and him, you crying, you weeping, you connecting, you fellowshipping, where you walk out of that going, "Man, I love Jesus. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my King." This is who we're called to be. I want to encourage you. Why don't you answer that call? Why don't you get real with it? And let's get after this thing. Here's the challenge. Simple, simple, simple. This week, make time. The devil's not going to give you time. He's going to blow up your phone. He's going to screw up your schedule. He's going to overwhelm and overload your schedule so that you don't have time. I'm telling you, cut out time. You make it a priority. You go seek Jesus. Taste and see for yourself. I'm going to tell you what, this next Sunday, it's going to blow your mind what God has done this previous week. As in, what's coming ahead of us. Because when you connect with God, it'll mark you, it'll change you. You won't walk out of that the same way you walked into it. Amen? Amen. We've got to close in prayer. We're going to look at Exodus 19 next Sunday, and we're going to see some pretty cool stuff. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing and your grace. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Father, where we miss it, where we shy away, when you call us in deeper to richer pastures and deeper fellowship, God, we've gotten scared and we've shied away. God, please forgive us. Give us that chance again. I know that it is your absolute unwavering desire that we so intimately love the King of Kings. And you are so willing to meet us there. Lord, let us not be like Adam and Eve, who when they screwed up, they go and hide. No, we'll come out. We confess our sins. Please forgive us. Father, we draw close to you. And I know it's your absolute desire to draw close to us. I pray that as people seek after you this week, that they would have amazing God encounters. Things that only you could do. Father, reveal truth to them. Let your Holy Spirit just overflow them. We ask for amazing blessings to be released in that time of worship and fellowship and communion with you. We love you and we praise you. We seek you. We pledge ourselves unashamedly to you, Jesus, our King, our Savior. We say these things now in your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Aaron's going to play this song softly in the background. Just let it minister to you if you want, or get up and dismissed.